Thank you, Brother Dan. It's good to be here. Good to see your smiling faces on this cloudy, rainy day. As some of us struggle to get here, I'm thankful to be here. It's always good to be with the body of Christ. I'm thankful to stand before you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I welcome everyone that is here and everyone that might be watching and live streaming. I'd like to thank you all for your prayers for me and for my family, and that I'm able to be here and stand before you this day. You know, the Lord is in charge of all things. He never changes. He always thinks of us. He's provided for us. He's provided for the plan of salvation since the beginning of time. Knowing that Adam and Eve would fall, he set that plan in place, that they would have to bear children. Later, he would send his son to earth to die for our sins, that we might live. A perfect plan, and he never changes. All his promises, all the prophecies that are written in the scriptures, all those things are going to come to pass because he has said so. He is faithful, and he never changes. So important for us to remember that as we study the scriptures. I'm gonna quote from a book that I have called Judah's Scepter and Joseph's Birthright by J.H. Allen for a paragraph or so. And then it quotes the scripture. And he says, although it is not generally known, it is nevertheless true that God made two covenants with Abraham, or rather that he made one with Abraham and another with the same name after his name was changed to Abraham. This change of name was made that it might harmonize with the new character and new order of things that pertain to the covenant man. The first Abram covenant was made when the man was 90 years old, but the second, or Abraham covenant, was not made until the man was called upon to make the great sacrifice of his life. The test of the first of the covenants is as follows. And when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto him, I am the mighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any be called Abram, but shall be called Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee, and I will make thee exceedingly fruitful. I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant, and to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. That's from the 17th chapter of Genesis 1 through 8. We find when we read history that 900 BC there became two kingdoms of Israel, the northern kingdom and the southern. Later, these two kingdoms were destroyed by the Assyrian Empire, and they were scattered throughout the isles of the sea and remain there. But we find in the scriptures that the Lord is going to gather his people. And I'm going to turn to Ezekiel 36, starting in the 16th verse. And it says, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own way and by their doings. Their way was before me an uncleanness, as a removed woman. Wherefore I poured out my fury upon them for the blood that they had shed upon the land and for their idols wherein they had polluted it. And I scattered them among the heathen, and they were dispersed among the countries according to their way, according to their doings, I judged them. And when they entered unto the heathen, wherever they went, or whither they went, they profaned my name. When they said unto them, these are the people of the Lord, and are gone forth out of his land. Behold, I have pity for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen, wherever they went. And he goes on and he talks about dispersing them, and that he would sanctify my great name which was profaned among the heathen, which has been profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and bring you out into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water on you, as you shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will cleanse you. A new heart will I give you, and my spirit will I put into you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. The Lord has promised Israel, after they were scattered because of their sins, he was going to gather them once again. What a wonderful promise we read in the scriptures. We read that in Malachi it says, for I am the Lord God, I change not. And just as he had promised Israel he would gather him, he keeps his promise to us. If we repent and are baptized and endure to the end, we shall have eternal life. That promise is true. That's the truth that was talked about. And we have to look and review ourselves. Do we have a sanctified heart? Are we ready to serve God? Have we prepared ourselves? God has a plan for the church of Christ, or I should say, God has a plan, and the church of Christ is part of that plan. We read about these things again in Ezekiel in the 37th chapter, and I'm gonna read some from that, starting in verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out of the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And it goes on and talks about those bones. And it says that those bones were the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off from all our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves and bring you to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you out of your graves. You should and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I shall place you in my own land. Then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Talking about future events yet. And it goes on in Ezekiel, starting in verse 15. The word of the Lord came unto me again, saying, Moreover, thou son of man, take thee a stick and write upon it for Judah and for the children of Israel, his companions. Then take another stick and write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, for all the house of Israel, his companions. and join them one to another into one stick, and they shall become one in thy hand. And when the children of thy people shall speak unto thee, saying, wilt thou not show us what thou meanest by thee? Say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his fellows, and will put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in my hand. And the sticks whereon thou writest shall be in thy hand before thy eyes. We have those records, of course. We know that. Both the Bible's the stick of Judah and the Book of Mormon, the stick of Joseph. We have those, and within them we find that we have the fullness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he goes on and he says, and say to them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I take the Israel among all the heathen, whether they be gone, and will gather them on every side and bring them into their own land. And I will make one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king to them all, and they shall be no more two nations. Neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. Neither shall they defile themselves any more with idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any transgressions. But I will save them out of their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them. So shall they be my people, and I will be their God. And David my servant shall be king over them, and they shall be have one shepherd, and they shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. And they that dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob, my servant, wherein our fathers have dwelt, and they shall dwell therein, even they and their children and their children's children forevermore. And my servant David shall there be prince ever. You know, when this was written, of course, David had died. He's talking about Jesus Christ. He's talking about Jesus Christ being the king over all. He's talking about the gathering of the house of Israel and the second coming of Jesus Christ. We find the scriptures continue to teach. Going on, he said, I will make a covenant with peace with them, and I have an everlasting covenant with them, and I will place them and multiply, and I will set my sanctuary in the midst of them evermore. And my tabernacle also shall be with them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And the heathen shall know that I, the Lord, do sanctify Israel, when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore. Talking about a future place, a future time, something that I believe has begun to start, and I will talk about that later. And you can go on and read in the Book of Mormon, and Nephi is explaining to his brothers. They ask him what was in the books that they went back for, or the records that I guess it was the brass plates they went back for and got from their uncle Laban. And so he's telling his brothers. This is in 1 Nephi 6:30 on page 73. For it appears that the house of Israel, sooner or later, will be scattered upon all the face of the earth, and also among all nations. For behold, there are many that are already lost from the knowledge of they which are at Jerusalem. Yea, the more part of all the tribes have been led away, and they are scattered to and fro upon the isles of the sea. Whether they are, none of us knoweth, save that we know that they have been led away. And since they have been led away, these things shall be prophesied concerning them, and also concerning all they which shall hereafter be scattered and be confounded because of the Holy One of Israel. For against them will they harden their hearts. Wherefore they shall be scattered among all nations and shall be hated by all men. Nevertheless, after they have been nursed by the Gentiles, and the Lord had lifted up his hand upon the Gentiles and set them up for a standard, and their children can be carried in their arms, and their daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders. Behold, these things of which are spoken are temporal. For these are the covenants of the Lord our fathers, and mean it in the days to come, and also all our brethren which are of the house of Israel. So they had that reason to go back and get those brass plates, that they would know of these things and of the promises of God, and that they would be able to look forward to it. And going on, it says, and it meaneth that the time cometh that after all the house of Israel has been scattered and confounded, that the Lord God will rise up a mighty nation among the Gentiles, even upon the face of this land. Talking about North America, Joseph's land. We can read in the 49th chapter of Genesis the promises that have been given to Joseph in his land, this land. Choice above all other lands. And by them shall our seed be scattered. And, you know, the American Indians in the 1800s were scattered by the Gentiles, by us. And after that our seed are scattered, the Lord God will proceed to do a marvelous work among the Gentiles, which shall be great worth unto our seed. Talking about the restoration of the Church of Christ, a mighty work. The restoring of the power and authority to represent Jesus Christ on earth after the apostasy. The bringing forth of the spiritual gifts of that were done away with, that weren't present in the world. They weren't believed. They weren't taught. They thought the miracles were done. But all those things were restored by the mighty hand of God, as he promised. The spiritual gift of wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecies. The fruits of the Spirit were once again active. Love, joy, patience, kindness, faithfulness, self-control. We read in Revelation 14:6, it says another angel was I've got it quoted wrong, but you know the one I mean. Another angel fight from the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to them on earth. That's the Book of Mormon, and we know that. And we're thankful. And it goes on and it says, there in Nephi, and it shall be of great worth unto the Gentiles, not only unto the Gentiles, but unto all the house of Israel, unto the making known of the covenants of the Father of heaven unto Abraham, saying, in thy seed shall all the kingdoms of the earth be blessed. He goes on and talks. And at the end of the reading, he said, and every nation which shall war against thee, O house of Israel, shall be turned one against another. And they shall fall into the pit which they had digged to ensnare the people of the Lord. And all which fight against Zion shall be destroyed. The Lord is going to gather his people and bless them, and anybody that fights against him will be destroyed. And the scriptures say that the righteous need not fear, for the Lord will bless us. And he made a promise and he fulfills his promises. We find that events have been started after the coming forth of the Book of Mormon, and the church reached out to the descendants of Joseph, the work in Mexico, plus the Native Americans here. You know, early on in the church, the Joseph Smith sent people out, and the early apostles of Clarence Wheaton, B.C. Flint, and Marvin Ealy and some of the current ones, or James E. Yates and Ube Yates and Brother Seibel went out and preached the gospel to the Indians. And we're told in the story and a history in our history on page 196 that when one of the men in Mexico heard of the Book of Mormon, he stated that this was a treasure. And then there was the written in history this that there was a man of a Mayan king, Mamisio Shu, who was either the last Mayan king or a relative of the last Mayan king, that when he read or had read to him when Brother Clarence was down there in 3 Nephi 5 about the first appearance of Jesus Christ, here he stated that it was what the ancient records had said that were burned by the black robe priest and passed down through the years by mouth to mouth. And he held it up and he said, "This is our book. This is the records that we have been talking about. This is the promise of God, of Jesus Christ coming here on this earth." Great historical fact. And it fulfilled the requirement that they were the descendants of Lehi. We're going to hear these things. And we'll find out that the records are ours and have great worth. And by the mouth of two or three witnesses, all things will be established. Remember, the Lord changes not. The Bible prophesies of these things. The Book of Mormon prophesies of these things. And they're being fulfilled in our time. That great and marvelous work that was talking to them out of great worth. The Lord that says, "I change not." We find that in 1917, I guess it was, during World War I, that there was a British ambassador. He made a statement that was known as the Balfour Declaration, in which he proclaimed that Israel should be given a homeland. Of course, we know that in 1848 they were. 1850, the descendants of Lehi heard about the Book of Mormon. There's been continued work among the Native Americans, fulfilling the promises of God. And we have been a part and will be a part and continue to be a part. And we have to prepare ourselves for that work. In Ether 6 and 3, Ether 6 talks about the gathering and building up of Zion, a holy city and the sanctuary of the Lord, and in inviting the participants of these events by repentance, baptism, being a light of the Gentiles in the house of Israel. It's imminent. It's going to happen. God always fulfills his promises. He always foretells us what he's going to do. And there's going to be a great gathering. There's going to be a gathering of the house of Israel, whom we are part of by baptism unto Christ. We're to be his and are his. We're his church. We're the body of Christ on earth. We're the bride of Christ. And we have to prepare ourselves for this great work, spiritually, personally, collectively, using our talents, praying to the Lord, asking for forgiveness of our sins. And if we haven't been, repenting of our sins and being baptized, giving our life to Jesus Christ, to seeking his will in our life first, to not be concerned of the affairs of the world, but seek ye first the kingdom of Christ. He says, and all these things will be added unto him. Are we ready? Do we believe? Do we believe that this is a sacred spot of ground out here? And it'll be the starting point of the gathering of God's people in the world. People come from all over the world and all the states to come here to see this spot, because they know it's our heritage, it's our promise, it's our belief that a temple will be built here, that Zion will begin here and spread out through the nations of the earth. What a wonderful time. For 1,000 years, he's going to come and he's going to reign with us. We're going to be with him and be taught with him. It's going to be a perfect time. There isn't going to be any diseases, any stress, any wars or rumors of wars. Are you ready? It says the righteous are called. The pure in heart. Those that are seeking to do God's will continually. Repenting of their sins. Are we ready? There will be a gathering of Israel. Does Emma? I hope we believe it. I hope we understand it. I pray for it. We need to study for it. We need to be ready. It's our belief. Early on in our history, in the Book of Commandments, in chapter 41, verse 10, Joseph Smith gave a command, "Thou shalt preach the fullness of my gospel which I have sent forth in these last days, the covenant which I have sent forth to recover my people, which are of the house of Israel." Priests, we're to preach, we're to teach, we're to exhort, we're the promises of God. We're to support the missionary effort among the nations of the world. We're to have a pure heart. You know, in the book of Revelations, in the 19th chapter, verse 7 through 9, it says this: "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife had made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, These are the true sayings of God." We're to give honor to him and be united to him with him. We're to make ourselves ready as the bride of Christ. I'm going to read some of it, the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians. "I therefore, the prisoner," and starting with verse 1. "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech ye that you walk worthy of the vocation wherein you are called." We're to walk worthy of the vocation wherein we are called. We're to serve Jesus Christ with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. For there is one body, one Spirit, even as ye are called to one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One Lord Jesus Christ. One set of beliefs or faith, that those things that he has placed, the principles of the gospel. One baptism, a baptism with having a power and authority of God, the baptism of the Church of Christ. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gifts of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Going on in verse 11, I think, he said, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. What for? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. We're to edify the body of Christ. We're to strengthen the body of Christ. Not only the ministry, each one of us here, we're to strengthen one another. We're to strengthen them with our prayers, our testimonies, our thoughts, our discussions, our studies, and dwell with them. And the promise that we'll, he goes on and he says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase the body unto the edifying of itself in love. We're all responsible for that. Are we present when we meet? Do we come to the prayer services on Wednesdays or services Sunday night and Sunday? And do we take advantage of the things that are on our website and the studies there and the videos for our members that are scattered, not able to meet with the body of Christ regularly? Are you taking advantage of the blessings of God that we have in this last day and using the sermons and the studies that have been recorded for our edification and our strength that are on our website? I encourage each one of us to do that. It's a blessing from God at this time that we have these miracles that we have in the media that's available, that we can talk to other people across the different continents of the world on our phones, looking at them. Praise God. And I know we have many doing that, and I'm thankful. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, wherefore they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things which is ahead, even Christ. Christ is to be the head of the church. Goes on and he says, be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon our wrath, neither give place unto the devil. Don't let our anger drag us down. We all get angry at times. We have to repent of those things. Don't let the sun go down upon him. Don't let Satan have that hold of you. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to use in edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. We're to come unto Christ and be perfected in him. You know, the scriptures teach things that we should do, but it teaches things that we shouldn't do also. And I'm going to go through those. In Proverbs, the 6th chapter, the 16th verse through the 19th, it says, Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift to run to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. We're to edify and strengthen, not drag down one another. We're to abhor and run away and not have any part of these things. We must remove them. We must examine ourselves and make sure we aren't proud, that we don't lie, that we shed innocent blood and wicked imagination. We run to a wicked imagination, follow after Satan, knowing well that we're doing that. Or he that soweth discord among the brethren. We're to abhor, we're to remove ourselves. And yet we find that in the world today there's false prophets teaching things that are despicable. Even some that have left the Church of Christ that are teaching despicable things. They're trying to change the structure of the church. They're using their own interpretation for scriptures. They're carrying a book that is not of God, and we have to fight against them. We're given to know that these things are not true. We're to pray. We're to pray for them that they might repent of their sins, that they might remember the promises of God that they knew so well. They would go and forsake their private interpretations of the scripture, but they'd come back to the body of Christ. In Mosiah, it says, the natural man is an enemy of God and has been from the fall of Adam and will be forever. But if he yieldeth to the enticings of the Holy Spirit and putteth off the natural man and becometh a saint through the atonement of Christ the Lord and becometh the child, submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love, willing to submit to all the things which the Lord seeth fit to inflict upon him, even as a child doth submit to his father. That reference, I'm sorry, that was Mosiah 1, 119 through 120. We have to yield to the enticings of the Holy Spirit. We have to give the Holy Spirit time to speak to us. We have to meditate about these things. We have to think about them and be praying about and expect the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Teach us all the things we must do to have the eternal life. In Mark, in the 12th chapter, in the 28th verse, it says, one of the scribes came, and having heard the reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? We know what I'm going to say. And Jesus answered him, the first commandment is this, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like namely this, that thou shalt love thy neighbor by thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Do we love the Lord God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all thy strength, and our neighbor as ourself? Think about our thoughts. Think about where we put our priorities in life. And they are in tune. Are they in tune with the teaching and the commandments of God? Do we seek first the kingdom of God? Do we love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength, and thy neighbor as thyself? We have the opportunity and we're called to repent of our sins and to perform these promises of God and to love him and to sanctify our heart with all our soul and mind and strength that we might be numbered among the people of Christ in the last days, that it might be well with us. We're to let Christ dwell in our hearts. In Philippians 2, I'm going to read a couple of verses out of that, starting in verse 1. And if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, any comfort in love, and any fellowship of the Spirit, any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, and be ye like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not at every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of other. We're to have the mind of Christ. We're to want to be a servant of others. We're called out of the world as his people to be servants, to follow the example of Jesus Christ. In the book of James, I'm going to read one verse, but it's in the first 12. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. He favors those that are humble. Submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. You know, the scriptures say that Adam fell that men might be, and men are that they might have joy. We're to have joy in the promises of God. We're not to fear him if we're numbered among the righteous. We need to look forward to the promises that the Lord has bestowed upon us. We need to be repentant, baptized, and endured in the end in faithfulness. We need to use our time, our talents, our prayers, our presence, our service, praying together, testimonies, united with the body of Christ. Read now from the 7th chapter of Moroni. Talking about charity, the pure love of God. And if a man be meek and lowly in heart and confesses by the power of the Holy Ghost that Jesus is the Christ, he must needs have charity. For if he hath not charity, he is nothing. Wherefore he must needs have charity. And it goes on and he says, and charity suffereth long and is kind and envieth not and is not puffed up, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, if ye have not charity, ye are nothing. For charity never faileth. Wherefore, cleave unto charity, which is the greatest of all, for all things must fail. But charity is the pure love of Christ, and it endureth forever. And whosoever is found possessed of it at the last day, it shall be well with them. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all the energy of heart, that you may be filled with his love, which he hath bestowed upon all who are true followers of his Son, Jesus Christ, that you may become the sons of God, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, and we'll see him as he is, that we may have this hope, that we may be purified as he is pure. Amen. We're to pray for charity. It's not our natural instinct to do those things. We have to yield the enticings of the Holy Spirit. We have to let the Holy Spirit dwell in our hearts and give him time to speak to us. Call on it. It's a gift of God. The scriptures tell us not to forget to do that. So we're to abhor sin. We're to run away from it and the false teachings of man and those that have taken upon those teachings. We're to remember the promises of God to Israel, which we're a part of, by baptism, by being Christ, that he's going to gather them from the four corners of the earth, that those bones are going to take upon flesh, you know, and he's going to put life into them, and he's going to call them out, and they're going to be gathered in to a place of refuge. One of those places of refuges is going to begin right out here on the temple lot. That's its purses. That's what the Lord spoke to our forefathers and confirmed by power and authority. We're to seek his kingdom in our life. We're to look at our life and throw those things out that are not, they're not fitting according to the scriptures, and we all have them. A brother talked about that, Brother Fan, this morning in Sunday school. We need to, every one of us daily, to, just as a commitment he made. We're to look to do good every day. When we get up in the morning, ask the Lord, what is it that you want me to do today? What can I have? What can I fulfill? How can I serve somebody? Do I need to call somebody? Do I need to visit somebody? Do I need to help somebody financially? Do I need to pray for somebody? Whatever that is that a forethought on our mind when we get up in the morning? If not, we need to remind each other that it should be. I know we all fall short of that. I fall short of that. But the Lord commands that we do those things, to purify our heart, to be the bride of Christ, to be numbered among the people of Christ. We're to submit ourselves to God and resist evil. We're to pray for charity with all the energy of heart. I hope you remember the promises of God to Israel and to know that the church is all part of that, and we have a responsibility to preach that and teach that among the nations of the earth and teach the doctrines of Christ. And he placed him first in our life, that it might be well with each of us in that last day when we stand before him to be judged according to our works. Remember me in my prayers, and I'll remember you. Thank you.